Shut up and sit down.
Welcome to the Absolute Worst Podcast. I'm Allison Royer.
And I'm Dana Powell.
Each week on our show, we seek and give free therapy by telling you our problems, asking you to tell us your problems. Let me just pray to God that any of it works out.
We are basically the opposite of Oprah.
Dana's really been rehearsing her line. She wants to make sure she gets it perfect.
I like to do it different all the time.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Does
for
it
that
annoy you?
No.
Good.
No, I think growing and changing is important to life.
To life. I tried to do it with you.
Yeah, no, I saw that. Thank you. I definitely feel connected. Good. I feel like we're one. Mm-hmm. It's really good to be here.
Yeah, it's your house.
Thank you for calling it a house.
It is your house.
Well,
it's
an apartment. It is my home, but it is an apartment. And mm-hmm. Someday I'm going to live in a house, and then we're going to celebrate by having Oprah on as a guest.
Maybe I'm sure that'll be the changing point. She's waiting for Allison to get a house.
Every day I literally email my mortgage broker and tell her how much money I have to see if I can buy a house. And every day she tells me that I'm no problem. Just cash out your 401k and you're there.
Wow.
And every week, every day I'm so upset. So anyway, I live in this apartment.
It's a nice apartment.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It is.
Could literally be thrown out at any time. Okay, so let me tell you one of the things I like about this podcast.
Okay.
Start on a positive note.
Okay.
What's kind of cool about it is I feel like we have listeners that have been with us from the beginning, but then there's other new people that find us.
Yeah.
That just kind of find us. So I'm going to read some feedback from a girl who is a little, she just found us. And so she has some feedback about our first episode ever. And I do this usually later in the episodes, but for anybody that's joining us, this is the Absolute Worst Podcast,
mm-hmm.
and we so rely on basically your help.
Yes.
We look for any questions that you might have that you need help with. If you don't have direct contact with Oprah like we do necessarily.
We don't.
You need a little guidance, or maybe you have a weird, bizarre, crazy, specific, unique story or something quirky that's happened
this
to you.
This podcast is like a communal effort.
Exactly.
We're a community.
And a lot of times we get feedback from people, mm-hmm. either because they've heard something that we've said that they disagree with,
right.
which is it's likely
fine.
That
I mean, it's
we know.
They're probably right.
Even though I'm a licensed professional therapist.
You are not, Allison. You can't say that.
But anyway, we love hearing from you. So you can email us at absoluteworstpodcast@gmail.com, or if you want to be super duper anonymous, you can reach us through our website, absoluteworstpodcast.com. There's a little tab on there that says contact. You can direct message us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can follow us on there. It's amazing. We check everything. We love hearing from you, and it's always super duper anonymous. So I just want to start with a couple things people have written to us about our episodes. So this one is called The Underwear Problem, because she's referring to our first episode.
Because I still have underwear problems, yeah.
Even though not only I, but many of our listeners have offered you a slew of suggestions, including my mother-in-law, who had a really good idea. Apparently, you're still struggling.
Well, because I
oh my
just
gosh,
don't want to buy Depends. But
she says, Dana, open parentheses, and Allison, I guess.
Yes. Finally, somebody is acknowledging my presence on this podcast.
So she sent a really long message. I had to edit it a little. She said, I recently discovered your podcast and can't help but feel deeply connected to both of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I too suffer from strange, very rare medical issues. Yes.
Oh.
And I have a lot of, I'm not trying to be excited for you, but we both have weird medical issues. So we feel like a sense of solidarity there. And have a lot of super weird stories like you share in your podcast. Some of my fun medical issues include the bones in my hip joints are dying, and I had to get a total hip replacement on my left hip joint in 2016 at the age of 30. That's like Liza Minnelli.
God.
I also sleepwalk and eat while fully asleep. What?
Wow, I've heard of that.
So like you ladies, I have lots of issues. However, I only have one zombie hip now. She has dead bones like you.
Dead like me, yes.
When Dana talked about her underwear, I like that after all that, she's mostly obsessed with your underwear issue. When Dana talked about her underwear issues, I couldn't help but scream because I too have struggled with underwear all my life. Mm-hmm. And I have a theory about Dana's underwear issue.
Oh.
I'm not sure what body type she identifies as, but I know she
spider.
Is fully figured.
Yeah, definitely.
Spider is spider. Not a body shape.
It's round with appendages.
But I know she is fuller figured, as am I, and I think we have a similar body type. I believe it's called an apple body.
But, oh, cute.
But fuck that, because I am not a fruit. She then puts in a picture of a woman whose whole body has been replaced by an apple.
Oh, God, that's not me.
The point is, I have a very small butt and hips compared to the size of my upper body and waist. Mm-hmm. I don't really like to wear pants because I have a hard time finding ones that fit me everywhere. Mm-hmm. If they fit me at the waist, they're too big in the butt and leg area. Yep. Same thing with underwear. She then goes on for another two paragraphs explaining this, which I cut because
I like will definitely go back and read. Yeah.
And then it says, Dana, you may have already figured out this was your problem, but if not, you're welcome. My solution has been to wear dresses all the time and wear some sort of shapewear or tights underneath. Then she lists, well, they're misnumbered. It looks like five, but she says 1, 2, 3, 4, 4. Those are reasons she thinks this is like a better way to be living her life.
Okay.
And then she says,
I'm really on board with this woman.
She's great. Personally, I wish there were more awareness around the awareness. Maybe we should start a charity.
An awareness charity for what?
Personally, I wish there was more awareness around the fact that some people can't wear normal pants and underwear.
Yeah.
But that's just the way the world is. So we have to adapt, Dana. Not the rest of the world. If you need more advice, I'm here to help. I mean, I have a normal job and a life, but I could send another email or something.
Oh, my God.
Then she puts, sincerely, a human, not fruit-shaped woman.
Yes. I think this woman's my best friend.
Yeah, no, I definitely think she is.
Yes. She gets me on a very base level.
Yeah, she does. She totally does. I mean, I've said before that I'm too fat for pants. Like, no.
You're the reason I wear dresses every day.
Yeah, because
now. No
pants fit me. It's just like not a thing that happens to me anymore. I just don't wear them. Although,
I don't think that's true. If I had your body, I could find pants.
I would then find me some pants because I'm not able to wear any. As a matter of fact, I did this box you said where the people send you clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
And the first pair of pants they sent me, I pulled all the way off my body. Like, they were weird. Like, I didn't have to unbutton them.
Oh.
So I just pulled them off my body. The next pair, so then I changed my size online.
Okay.
The next pair of pants they sent were past my foot.
Oh, too long.
It was crazy.
Can you give them feedback and tell
them? Yeah, I always do.
Yeah.
But
sometimes that's what, same with my box. Like, I've gotten.
Thank you for referencing your box this early on in the show.
I've gotten three pairs of pants and two of them have fit well. One was like crazy. It was like.
I'm just going to say something really quick. So Dana's birthday was a couple days ago.
Happy birthday, Dana.
And I made her these chocolate peanut butter bars. She doesn't have a napkin. She's had this in front of her for hours. And
it's
now she's so just.
Messy. I don't know.
She's decided to take while she's talking. She's okay. She's like, this is a good time to eat this. She's literally in the middle of a sentence. And now what are you, where are you going to wipe your hands? Like on your dress?
I'm just going to lick them clean. But I don't know why I would eat peanut butter while we're recording.
It's such a bad idea.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. I just
started
reaching.
You doing it. And I'm like, this is not a good idea.
It was probably some kind of anxiety. What were we talking about?
Well, pants.
Yeah. It gave me anxiety. It gave me anxiety. This was a reflex. On my birthday, I went and bought a mouth guard because I have so much anxiety at night. I'm grinding my teeth and waking up with headaches.
But you've already said, because I recently had a birthday too. Thanks for acknowledging it, Dana.
I did. I posted it on all of our social media. God. Yes.
But I'm not like really an age person. Like, it doesn't bother me. I actually often, I've been telling people I'm 40 for like years. I'm not, but I feel like I am.
Yeah. I feel like you are.
Okay, this is another more listener feedback. This is from in response to episode 14, regarding somebody who had an absolute yerst in that episode about some sex injuries. So this person writes, first, your podcast rocks.
Thank you.
You two remind me so much of my best friend of 16 years and myself. I binged all of your episodes in the past week. So many people are bingers. And I really appreciate
binger.
It.
I'm a podcast binger. It's I love great. It. Mm-hmm.
Last episode, you asked for sex injury stories. When I was with my ex-boyfriend, I was on top and felt something in my hip pop, like a tendon or something.
Oh, God.
And, well, I wasn't done, so I kept on till we finished. Yeah, don't let that stop you, girl.
What a superhero.
I probably should have stopped right then. Over the next few days, the pain in my hip got worse and worse. I ended up in 6 weeks of physical therapy until I could go through my day without pain. Oh, and it's not like I was a frail, elderly woman with a bad hip or something. I was only 22.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Worst part, sex with that guy wasn't even that good. Oh,
clearly not.
No.
She was having to like really work at it. Right?
Yeah, she's like, you know what? I'll fucking break a hip to get an orgasm.
I gotta feel something,
dude.
Also, pay for my physical therapy.
It's true. God. I hope he did. If you're listening, we want to know if he paid for his. Probably not. A 22-year-old, they'd have to ask their parents. It's a lot. You know. This is in response to episode 15. This is subject line: dude with the weed. Hi, ladies. Love the show. Thank you. Just listen to the show with a guy. This is from a guy, by the way. The other one was a girl. I like to indicate sex. Mm-hmm. Hi, ladies. Love the show. Just listening to the show with a guy whose ex-roommate was asking about a spatula when he really wanted the weed he left in the apartment. I'm with Dana on this one, he says. Mm-hmm. Though have a way to get back at the roommate at the same time. Buy a new spatula. Oh, so this is his suggestion.
I love it.
Buy a new spatula. Mail it to him with the following note. I have no idea what spatula you're looking for, so here is a new one. You left the weed here. It's gone now. Never talk to me again. Strong move.
Love that, dude. Fucking nail him a spatula.
If you move out and leave your shit, it's not your shit anymore. I don't know the answer to the question about how men can build more meaningful relationships with other men. I've never had an issue with it. As Dana knows, Dana knows, I have some serious bromances. I'm sure there is a dude out there who started without strong male relationships and figured out how to build them, and I hope you get one to talk about it because it is necessary. Thank you.
Yeah.
And for any other questions that require a self-aware, balanced male perspective, I'm happy to call in and share anytime. Keep killing it. That's awesome.
Oh my God.
Although we don't know how to get people to call in. We barely know how to record our own voices.
I think we're figuring it out.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I think we are.
All right.
Because
Dana's going to get you in here.
I actually called my husband and interviewed him on this new anchor thing that you made us do. And I thought about posting it because it's so funny because I'm like, well, he was like, this is so weird. It said that you were calling to interview me.
Oh, cool.
And he was like, it said absolute worst. And I was like, what is that?
Yeah,
and
somebody emailed. Go ahead. Sorry.
I said, if absolute worst is calling you, you don't have a clue that it's my podcast. So anyway, to this dude.
We're working on it. I want to say thanks to the people that stalked us from Anchor because somebody sent us like a marketing email basically.
And
we've been using it.
Yeah. And I was annoyed at you for sending it to me because I was like, what is this? I don't need another job. I love it.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So Anchor, if you're listening.
Good job for stalking.
We're promoting you.
You know, we talk about how stalking is the key to success because I stalked Dana and now we have this podcast. And then I stalked Cindy Walsh and then she was on our show. And then Anchor stalked us and we love it. We're super
into
it.
It's this really cool app anybody can use. You can like record things and they'll transcribe it and make a little video for you.
It's very amazing.
Yeah.
So I guess I just wanted to start with a problem really quick. I don't know if this is... So Dana and I both just had birthdays, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to say how old you are? Does that make you uncomfortable?
It doesn't make me happy.
So would you say that you're like an age person?
No, actually, I would say I'm definitely not. It's only my career I think about.
Oh, interesting. Uh-huh. You don't want people to know how... Okay, well, I'm just going to...
Because they have an assumption of the range that I fit.
Okay, what's the range?
I think my range, or usually what I go out for, is anywhere from 35 to 78.
Okay. And so I'm also not an age person. I just turned 37, which I often forget. But I feel like I've been 40 for literal years because I've always felt older than I am, and not like in a bad way. Like I don't know how to explain it. Like,
right.
It doesn't bother me whatever age I'm turning because usually I'm surprised. I'm like, I'm only 37 because I think I'm same thing. I'm like right. 72.
Well, you've had a lot of life experience. Sure,
that's a great point.
Yeah.
But one thing that does happen to me, and so I guess I would just want to bring this up as like a little bit of a problem, or just mostly to see if like other people do this. Even though I'm like, I'm not a real age person, and when I think like you're 37, that doesn't really affect me. Uh-huh. But sometimes as I'm moving through my life, like if you've been listening to our podcast, you know I'm like a little obsessed with buying a house. It's just a thing. I feel like I'm alcoholic, so I obsess about things a lot. I don't think that's specific to alcoholics, but, you know, and we've had people on the show. Recently there was a girl that was like, oh, and you'll never believe it because I'm super old, and she was like 29.
Yeah.
So I do think we have those – we give ourselves these arbitrary benchmarks, like I should be married by blank. Mm-hmm. I should have a kid by blank. I should own a home by blank. Mm-hmm. Certainly – you know, where I didn't think this would be what my, I'm using air quotes for career, would yeah. look like at this age. You know, I thought surely I'd have it a little bit more figured out.
Right.
Instead, now I've got a freaking kid and a husband I'm dragging along with me. So, so I do have that thing.
Well, because I think even if you don't say it out loud, we all do have these
and while there's certain things that I could look at my life and be like, oh, you've accomplished this. You've accomplished – it doesn't really mean anything. Instead, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to flounder in this tiny apartment for the rest of my life, and I'm never going to – and I'm going to continue to work at my law firm job until the day I die. And I wish there was like – I wish I could just – we really need to get a psychic on this show. I got to
– oh, my God. I would love that. I've only had one psychic experience, and it was the worst ever.
You told me.
And I actually, believe it or not, or coincidentally, walked by her place last night and felt the need to hiss, but I didn't because that's crazy.
That is crazy. I'm so glad you stopped yourself. But, yeah, like, actually, if you're listening and you know an incredible psychic that wants to be on our show.
An incredible
I do, but
psychic.
He lives in Boston.
But why can't we call him? We have the Anchor app now. We can interview him.
Oh, my gosh. I just got so excited. I'm definitely going to do that this week.
Do you think he'll do it?
Yeah.
Does he have to touch me or anything?
How can he touch you through the phone?
I know. That's the problem.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
No, I actually don't think he does.
Hmm.
Huh. Maybe we should do a Kickstarter to get him flown out here.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be amazing?
But anyway, so I just had a birthday, and I just kind of wanted to talk about that for people that – because at the same time, you know, we are obsessed with Oprah on the show, and there's always those stories of, like, there was a man who was illiterate at the age of 88, but he taught himself to read. And to some degree, I believe that. Like, when I'm talking to – I think we had somebody write in about going back to school. Like, yes, it's never too late to do that. Yes, it's never
– And also, Oprah doesn't have false things on her show, and if she does, James Fry.
Well, that wasn't her fault.
Right. She calls it out.
Yeah, totally.
She gets duped, so.
No, totally. And I think to that being said, though, like, so I'm a real big fan of So You Think You Can Dance. I'm, like, obsessed with it.
Me, too. I've been to so many recordings.
You have?
Yeah, because.
You've never invited me.
Mm.
I want to go.
I can't now.
Why?
It's really.
You can't talk about
it. The person I knew that got me the tickets, who I'm close to, it was because her husband was a grip on the show, and now they're getting
divorced. Shut up. Yeah. See, divorce affects all of us, not just the people that were married.
You're a bad person.
I do think that's true. And maybe that's another benchmark of, like, when am I not going to be a bad person anymore? And I think I have it, too, with, like, I'm a mom, right? And so I'm like, shouldn't I be more momish?
Oh, I know. I say, I'm a mom, just like that, so often.
Yeah, like.
Usually following something very crass, I've said.
There's certainly, I mean, I've only been a mom for a year, but there's definitely been, you know, a handful of times where I've been out in the world with other people, and somehow it comes up and they go, you're a mom?
Yeah.
Yes. Nobody can believe it, least of all me.
Yeah.
It's not reasonable. So I just wonder, like, are these things true? Should I have accomplished a certain thing by now? Mostly.
No.
If you've successfully raised a family living in an apartment, mm-hmm. can I hear about it, please? Because it just.
People do it all the time.
I know. It's so stupid. It's like a dumb thing for me to be obsessed with, but I just am. And then there's others. So I feel like each birthday that comes by, I'm like, oof. Well, things have not changed for 10 years. I tell this story all the time, but when I first got sober, at that point I lived in a studio, so to some degree I've moved up, but I've only recently not been in a studio. I mean, when my husband and I got married, we were living in a studio, just to be super clear.
Uh-huh.
So when I first got sober, I was living in a studio, working at a law firm, and then performing and being creative in my spare time.
Right.
That was 13 years ago. And obviously things were so terrible that I ended up stopping drinking. So now it's this many years later. Granted, I have bedrooms in my apartment now, yeah, but I still work at a law firm and I still do creative things in my... So like to some degree, my life looks exactly the same.
Except you plugged in a baby.
Exactly.
It's not the
but
same.
But I added a baby on accident.
It sounds the same, but it's not.
I mean, do you have that? Like, because you had a birthday. Yeah. Did you have any like...
Yeah, you know what I had this year that I've never had before is a couple of days after my birthday, I was in the car and I looked in the rearview mirror and I was like, motherfucker, am I getting crow's feet?
Well, we've already talked about how you have milk skin. I'll tell you right now, I don't see crow's feet. Are those the ones that are by your eyes?
Yes, watch this.
Those are just the lines that happen when you squint your face. Like, my one-year-old has that.
No, these are, like, in there when I'm not eeing. Do you see them right now?
No.
Really?
All I see is fresh milk skin. Just saying. You literally do have, like, a baby face.
It's...
You don't think that?
I wouldn't say I think that, but what I do know is when I lost a ton of weight, I was like, oh my God, I look so old. My face is folding over on itself. So now I'm like, the plus size, you know, plus size, Freudian slip, the plus side to being plus size is that my fat is my own injectable filler.
This is incredible. What I was going to say before is that, sorry, I like randomly brought up So You Think You Can Dance is because I watched that show and I'm like, do you think it's too late for me to be a professional dancer?
Normally I would say don't ever put anything like, don't ever not believe in yourself. You
but
can
in
do
that
anything.
Case.
But in that case, I have to say it's definitely too late. You are never going to be on So You Think You
Can
Dance.
And you know
dance.
What else I'm not going to do? I'm never going to be a professional football player. And those are the two things I have to just accept. So
right. Maybe you're also never going to be an astronaut.
You don't know that.
You're also never going to be in the military.
This isn't helpful, this
I'm
game.
I'm just telling you, it's okay to not be lots of things.
So you're saying, each year that I get older, just make a new list of things I'll never
You'll
be
never
able to
be.
Accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then just accept it.
This is really helpful, Dana. I don't know why we say that we're the opposite of Oprah, because that was some stellar advice right there.
Just think about
everything. I mean, I was kind of feeling bad before I started talking about my problem, and now I'm
like
definitely...
a really great guitar player in a rock band that tours the world. No?
You don't think I could do that? But what about that girl, Susan Boyle, who was like 500 years old, and then she got on like American Idol?
Here's the thing, she wasn't 500 years old, she just looked it.
How old was she?
She was way younger than everyone thinks.
Yeah, but she's not, she was older than you and I.
Yeah.
Okay, well, she became a singer later.
Oh, I didn't say you couldn't be an opera singer. Old people do that. I said you can't tour in a rock band and play guitar.
That seems like a very specific distinction.
Does it?
I want you to know that you have not helped
it's like,
my problem at all,
like,
and more than ever.
It's like saying the difference between, oh, no, I can swim. Oh, do you think maybe I'll ever be a Navy SEAL? Absolutely not, but you can learn to swim.
Dana, none of this is helpful.
Yeah.
You can't just say yeah. Basically, if you think my life is over because I have not reached the benchmarks I thought I should have made by now.
Which apparently was like... What? Being on So You Think You Can Dance.
No, and owning a home and maybe being like a professional. Like
it's never too late to own a home. That you can do.
Right, but I'd have to have money to do it. Is that ever going to happen? Am
yeah,
I going to be
so.
Like a 65-year-old first-time homeowner and it's just going to be with my retirement fund and then I'm going to like rot away?
No, I don't think so. But I think that...
Yes.
You
yeah,
don't
please see something positive and then
I'm
let's
just
move
trying,
on.
I was racking my brain. I think that you can own a home.
Thank
someday.
You, Dana. We're just going to move on. This is crazy. If anybody wants to say anything nice to me, please write it and tell me. And if you have these, that kind of ageism of I'm this old, like, and this should be, yeah, and this should be happening, or, oh my gosh, I'm this age, why isn't it? Like, write in and tell us about it, because I want to hear about it, because apparently, like, Dana's just here to tell me that I'm never going to make it in this world.
In some things. Not in this world. In some slash a lot of things. Very, it's too late.
Very helpful.
You're never going to be a firefighter.
Thank you.
Okay.
This person sent us some feedback and another question through our website. And so there's a little thing there where you can put your fake name. And she put, I don't know if it's a girl. I feel that it is. She put Frump. Oh, no, I know that it is. Frumpy but Horny is this person's name.
Hmm.
Dear Allison and Dana, love your podcast.
Thank you.
Wanted to write in about the short shorts. Okay, so this is in response to episode 13 where Dana was very upset that a woman was wearing short shorts in a bagel store.
Underwear.
She was wearing short shorts. Wanted to write in about the short shorts because I feel like it's really relevant to my life right now. I understand where Dana is coming from because I felt that way before, but I totally agree with Allison that the reaction comes from jealousy and misogyny, and that women need to be respected regardless of what they are wearing and where they are wearing it. And like Allison said, I don't believe women should have to change their appearance to be presentable or acceptable. I do struggle with this, though. I'm someone who also doesn't like the attention from men when I get dressed up and wear makeup, so I usually dress down and frumpy and don't wear makeup. I also have a weird thing about not wanting women to be jealous of me or not like me. I would hate to be that woman in the short shorts and have Dana judging me, so I'd rather just blend in so that no one would notice me. It's a little difficult, though, because I want a date, but I think the way I present myself makes guys uninterested in me. But I don't want to dress nicer or wear makeup or even put out a sexier vibe because I dread attention from creepos and normal guys I'm not interested in asking me out and having to reject them. How do you go from getting attention from guys you want attention from while simultaneously avoiding unwanted attention, including judgment from the rest of society? A.K.A. Dana. A.K.A. Dana. Just kidding, Dana. Love you. This is what I can't figure out. I'm in my late 20s, by the way. Female. Don't have kids. Not married. Never been married.
Well, I want to say, first of all, you don't want to use – I don't think that you want to start – looking for someone that you want to date based on how he responds to you physically. That's a natural thing that's going to happen anyway, no matter what you're wearing.
But I also think what she's saying is she wants people to notice her.
Right. But don't you think there's a between that's like noticing you because you're attractive and then noticing you because you're half naked?
No, I don't think she's saying that she's ready to like wear bikinis everywhere. But, you know, and I would say for her to just start small. I mean, this is so dumb, but like, I don't do it anymore because I have a kid and she'll just like rip all my shit off. But like, literally, there was like a fabulous summer where I just started accessorizing. Like, I was like, I'm going to wear earrings. I'm going to wear little things like that.
It changes the vibe that you put
on. It really does. Yeah. You know, and I don't think you have to do like full fucking Kardashian makeup, but like, maybe if you don't like, you know, put on mascara in the morning, then start there.
Yeah.
And,
go ahead.
Well, I would say too, and I'm definitely victim of this. So, you know, I'm constantly just like wearing maternity clothes and things that are made all of elastic. But I'm so envious of women who can – Dana's like this actually – who can dress their bodies. You know, like I've just determined over the course of my life for some reason, oh, I'm not this specific size that I think that I should be. And it doesn't matter in my life what size I've been, mm-hmm. whatever I was, I determined I should be something different than that. Mm-hmm. And I've been varying degrees of weight,
too.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so because I look at myself and go like, well, I should be smaller than this. There's no point in dressing this body, mm-hmm. you know? But I love when I see women that are so good with just clothes, no matter what size they are. Because it's not specific to just like, oh, well, it's easy for them to look nice. They're really thin or really fit. I've noticed many women that are just good at dressing themselves.
I think that's honestly a sign of confidence mm-hmm. too, when you're like, I know what my body is and I know exactly how to make it look its best.
And I'm not worried about the number. You know, women's clothes are just so arbitrary.
It's so ridiculous.
You know.
And also it doesn't take much.
Like start with like a pair of pants that fit you well. I know that is.
It'll make you feel good because I always say I am not the hottest girl that walks in a room.
By any means. I think you are.
Oh, thanks, Allison. Even though you're really mad at me.
Anyway.
But I have giant boobs.
Yeah.
And literally that's all it takes. Like, I don't go somewhere where some guy isn't trying to talk to me, or, and not in a disgusting way most of the time, mm-hmm. but like, I know that I get noticed mm-hmm. because I dress my body the way I should. I have, you know, I'm smiling a lot and I have giant boobs and that's all it takes. And they're not naked, mm-hmm. you know, they're just there.
And I don't think she's suggesting that she be naked, but I do think she's saying I'm just saying it doesn't take much. She needs to dress up a little bit more.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to take it. I mean, and I did, you know, Dana was, we've talked about, like, we both use different companies that send you a box of clothes. Because mm-hmm. I know, too, because it's not really, it's like something that I want, but I'm not willing to do the work.
It's a lot of time.
It's not a priority for me. Yeah. I'm not going to go shopping all the time. But I started to get these boxes. I just got a really cute dress.
Oh, cool.
And they just, mine, I'm doing something called Stitch Fix, where they send you all these clothes. You pick what you want. If you like it, you know, that there's a price for everything in there. And for me, that's been the easiest way to start to get out of just like frumpy mom clothes. Mm-hmm. And to have somebody else kind of do the work for
me. Yeah,
they
style you, basically.
Yeah, because, like, I'm just not willing to go to the store. So in that way, you know, you're in the comfort of your own home when you're trying things on. Mm-hmm. You know, if you like it, you keep it. If you don't, you send it back. Mm-hmm. I think it's, like, $20 a month for mine.
And mine, it is, too. And that $20 goes towards the purchase.
Towards whatever you end up buying.
Whatever you
exactly.
want. If you want something, yeah.
What's the one that you do?
Dia and Co.
Yeah, and Dana told me it was called Lady Box. And well, then I fucking Googled it.
My Lady Box.
And it ended up being just, like, pornography. So don't Google Lady Box is all we're saying.
But they have sizes 12 through like something crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, there's things out there. And I would just, you know, go to next time you're like at wherever, if you're at fucking Walgreens and you like a bracelet, just buy it. Mm-hmm. I'm also like very envious. There's one girl I'm thinking of in particular. She just always has her nails done. Mm-hmm. Like her nails just always are painted. I'm like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's such an amazing skill. My girlfriends, and then I know my, you know, I have girlfriends too who are always like full makeup, fucking rocking it out, hair extensions, like mm-hmm. fucking good for you, girl. Like I celebrate all women, and those of you that are made up, like while you're camping, I fucking salute you. And those of you that are struggling in that area, I salute you too.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not easy. And I give a lot of credit to the girls who have fucking rocking bodies and full makeup and the extensions and the whole thing. That is a full time
job. Yeah.
You go, girl.
And I think that, you know, people say, oh, we shouldn't have to wear makeup or all this, you know, decorate ourselves for men. I don't do it for men.
Mm-hmm.
I do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that affects how you present yourself and the vibes you're giving off and your self-confidence and self-care mm-hmm. and all of those things.
Yeah. And I think that we are all, you know, obviously this girl wants to put herself out there a little bit more.
Yeah,
and
I
so
like
I would just say, like, start little and see what happens. Because and sometimes it's as easy as a haircut.
Yeah.
I finally just got my haircut and it has, like, changed my life. Because
it's so cute.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Because it was just, like, long and momish. And literally there's a guy at work who's always like, why do you want to lose weight? You're already married and you have a kid. And I'm like, okay,
what?
But that doesn't mean my life is over. I still want to look attractive.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So, and this girl's young. She's like in her 20s.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, too, that society has done this to you, because I know the same, like, some, and I've been like all dolled up and then there's some like fucking creep job on the street. And I think like, go fuck yourself, bro. And I'm going to tell you what. The best way to combat that is to tell those people to go fuck themselves.
I just saw on Facebook one of my friends, his wife, she's adorable, and she was getting catcalled after work every single night.
Yeah.
So finally, night before last, she walked over to the guys and said, please don't ever do that to a woman.
I'm walking
down a dark street at night.
Right.
You guys are catcalling me. It doesn't feel good. It actually makes me very uncomfortable.
And I think I would even go a step further and just be like, if you ever talk to me that way again, I'm going to rip your fucking dick off.
Well, they actually apologized to her and said they meant it as a compliment.
Right.
She,
that's how they always think
I know.
It is.
And she like, said, ugh. I just want you to know it's never a compliment. It
yeah,
makes
it was
me
like, if I wanted your dick up my ass, I'd come over and sit on your lap. That's all I'm saying.
Dana. Allison. Don't ever say that to anyone, people. It just seems like dangerous. And also, you don't have to put somebody's dick up your ass if you sit on their lap. Like, that's not a requirement.
Yeah, but it's a good way to get a dick into your asshole.
Okay. What's our next reading?
This one is from fake name Newly Pregnant, Newly Peeved. Oh, God. I already feel bad for this girl. Mm-hmm. Long-time listener, first-time writer. I am pregnant, and I am married, and I am frustrated.
Aww.
Oh, God. My husband and I differ in two ways. He has no sense of smell, and according to all the dirt in our home, he is blind. We have no consistent cleaning schedule. We have in the past, but it inevitably falls to the wayside when we get busy. He'll ask me to tell him what I... Oh, my God. Do you think this is the girl who last week the guy said his wife wouldn't have sex with him?
No, I don't know.
Sorry. Okay. He'll ask me to tell him what I would like to do, but then he'll either forget, put it off for so long that I end up doing it, or do it once and that's it. Oh, my God. She's married to my husband. That's so weird.
Yeah.
I know
She's married to everyone's
husband.
Yeah,
I know, right? Sorry. I know I can't blame him for his bad sinuses. Okay, so that's a real thing. He really doesn't have a sense of smell. She says, or can I? But he can't tell when something's gone bad in the fridge or when the trash needs to be taken out. You don't need to have a sense of smell to know when the trash needs to be taken out. I suggested rehiring the cleaning lady, and he balked on principle, like we should be able to clean the house ourselves. But the reality is that we are not.
Yep.
She goes, is divorce the only answer?
Yes. No.
She goes, is Neva accepting additional grandchildren? If so, she will get a bonus great-grandchild out of the deal.
Oh my God. She would.
I'm going to tell you, the first thing I want to say, there's obviously, we both identify to this.
Completely.
You know, and you'd think like once you're pregnant, they'll start being nicer, you but think they're just you're not.
Like, no. You're like, I am their treasure right now.
Nope.
I am carrying their child.
Nope.
Here, I really, truly think that anytime a woman is pregnant, through at the very least till the baby's 5 months old, that husband better hire a housekeeper.
That's true. And that's what I was going to say to her.
Even if it's every other week.
I was like literally going to fucking blow my brains out on things that I wanted my husband to do. And then I literally just started hiring people.
You have to.
You know, like, so I would say she doesn't need her husband's permission to get a fucking cleaning lady. Just get a cleaning lady.
And if he balks at it, you can say, yeah, we should be able to do it.
I would be like, you know what?
But I'm pregnant. I'm tired. And you won't do it.
Totally. I don't even think you need to say that is. I'm really pregnant and unable to clean the house. She's going to be coming here, or he, not that all cleaning ladies are ladies. There's cleaning men and ladies.
Yeah.
We're going to have a cleaning person come here once. It's just so if you truly feel like it's not worth it or not necessary, you're welcome to fire them. But I'm just like, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I don't think he's welcome to fire them.
No. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Unless once a week.
But I also don't think it's that, like.
If he puts on cleaning gloves and brings in an extra powerful vacuum cleaner and four buddies, then he can fire
him.
And Dana's on fire about it.
Yeah, because her nostrils are flaring.
I'm mad about it. It's not fair. She's
and
exhausted.
Honestly, I don't know what to do about this because Dana and I have these problems too. What is this? As a matter of fact, what is the solution to this?
I mean, I literally said, if you don't, we have to get this housekeeper back because, you know, we don't always have money for it.
I don't have a house cleaner.
Yeah, you can.
And I'm obviously so OCD that I don't believe anyone can clean my house to the degree.
My people clean it like an army. I don't even understand how they get it so clean.
But there's definitely been things with my husband, and there's been, I do think, you know, I just want to, you know, in my husband's defense, because Dana and I talk about this a lot, is we love our husbands.
Of course.
We really
great.
Do. But they bother us.
Yes.
You know, like we've both known our husbands for a really long time. Dana's been married for 400 years.
Yeah.
I've only been married a couple of years, but I've known my husband since I was a teenager. There's just, I know for him, I think it's almost like we were talking last week about the love languages. Like my husband lets me know he loves me. It's very misplaced because he works his fucking ass off.
Yeah.
And I always say to him, you are so generous with your finances because his paycheck comes into our checking account and I do whatever I want with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, granted, I'm not like, you know, get my nails done and stuff.
No,
but
you're so great with money.
I manage money, you know, and I will always stow money in our, you know, all this stuff. And he just like is great with that. He never buys things that are big without being like, hey, can we get this?
Right.
You know, he's really wonderful.
That's respectful.
Those,
I
very
think. Yeah,
but there's other times where I'm just like, and I feel bad too because I don't know, you know, I'm trying to qualify this right now because it is a problem that comes up with my husband a lot, and I feel like that's the best way out of a problem, I think, is compassion. Like, okay, let me really see it from his perspective. And I know that when he's really trying to spend a lot of time with the baby, I want him to be cleaning the bathroom. When he's really, like, doing all the laundry all the time, I want him to spend more time with us. When he's like, I know sometimes it's hard for him to navigate, too. Mm-hmm. And then I get so frustrated that when he does ask, what can I do? I'm like, I don't fucking do whatever. Fucking stay or leave, bitch. I don't give a fuck. You know, like, I get bogged down. And so I think sometimes, and we've talked about this before too, because to some degree, in a partnership, I think it's like, if you want the trash taken out, you need to take it out yourself, you know? And I've tried that too, where it's like, okay, I'm just going to keep doing the things that need to be done around here in hopes that he follows suit. That doesn't always work.
It doesn't work for me.
And then we've had sit downs where I'm like, I try to approach it from, listen, I really need your help. As opposed to like a, you need to do this and you need to do this and how dare, you know, to try to approach it from like, I really need your help. I didn't expect to be this exhausted. I don't feel well. I just can't do this by myself. Do you think you could help me do A, B, and C? Mm-hmm. Like, and I've said to my husband, listen, I'm never going to grocery shop ever again.
Yeah, I need you to always do it.
Or hire somebody to do it. But like, you know, I don't care. I'm not going to
do it online.
So either we can starve. That's totally fine. If you don't want to buy groceries, I will just like eat at lunch and I'll be good to go, you know? Or, you know, order it online or whatever. But I'm never going to do it again. I'm just not going to do it. And honestly, sometimes weeks go by and he doesn't go grocery shopping. And I'm just like, okay, I guess that's it. You know, and I don't – it's tough. You got to pick your battles.
Yeah, you know? Do. You do have to pick your battles.
And we've had the talk a million times where he's like, you know, I've said like, you know, I need you to do A, B, and C. I just can't do those things. I just can't do it. And he's like, totally.
Yeah.
And then he's like Superman for like a little while. And then it ebbs and flows. And I'm sure that there's things that I don't do that he would want me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Probably like the blowjob guy was like, why don't I have a blowjob every day? It's like, because I'm doing the dishes again.
I know. And I think, too, like you have to help your husband create a habit, like with the trash, if you're saying he can't smell it. When it gets full.
Yeah, take it out.
Yeah, just say, and the trash is full.
Try to communicate with it now. Honestly, go to therapy now before you have the kid. Because you're not going to be able to go with your kid.
I know. Somebody was like, well, why don't you guys go to marriage counseling? And I was like, when? We have to hire a babysitter and pay a therapist?
Yeah, exactly.
That's not happening.
Yeah. But go, like, we went 3 times before we got married and a couple times before the baby came just to, like, for sure, like, get things in order. Yeah. I would totally go again. But, yeah, it's the same thing. Like, I'm going to spend $100 to get a babysitter and go there and then talk about our finances.
Yeah, exactly.
No. Yeah, no. Stupid. But I would suggest, like, communicate about it now in that same way of, like, I really need your help.
This
and not
a,
like, why don't you fucking do anything around here, you know?
Right.
And see how it goes.
I remind my husband all the time, there's a couple of specific things that we've just decided, like, you take care of this and I take care of that. And he never remembers. Mm-hmm. So once in a while, I just go, hey, honey, before you leave in the morning, can you blah, blah, blah.
Right. And there's things in my, like, I will never make a bed. It's never going to happen. My husband makes the bed every morning.
Yeah.
he's very into Swiffering. I'm not into that. You know, and I think, too, like, looking at that, you know, are there things that he does that you don't do? Like, does he pay the bills? Does he, you know, are there things that, you know, he is doing that you wouldn't, you know, maybe your thing is like, I wish you would clean more, but maybe he's taking care of a lot of other things that you don't necessarily give him credit for.
Right.
It just helps you with not hating him. You know, you have to look.
That's
we
the
say
hard
this all
part.
The time is in not any partnership.
Hating each other.
Everybody feels like they're doing the most and that they're not being respected or appreciated. That is unfortunately, especially when children come in, is there's just not as much attention on one another.
And I think part of that is because we just get set in our ways and we expect our partner. We're like, oh, yeah, he does this. And instead of going, hey, listen, I know you always do that. And God, it really helps me out so much.
Totally.
I do that. Too. I'm not the best, but I do that with my husband because I got to tell you, you know, I always say my husband aggravates me. But every morning he gets up when he goes to work, which is earlier than we get up for school. He sets out Henry's clothes for the day. He packs his lunch. And I cannot tell you how extremely helpful.
Exactly. See, by the end of this, both Dana and I like our husbands again. Because it's like when you really think about it, you realize, oh, they do stuff that I don't do, you know?
Do.
And I. You're such a dick. And I've done this too, where in the same way, like if we're kind of at odds or whatever, and then I sit down and go, oh, he does this. I'll write him a card. Yeah. Like I'll just get him
that's
a thank
neat.
You card or an I love you card and just
that
write.
That stuff matters. You sent me a thank you card from Zoe. That was so cute. And I was like, oh, it really made me feel good.
Yeah. I'm always into sending thank you cards.
I'm always thinking about it and then never follow
this
through.
This goes back to Dana's first problem.
It's the worst.
So get your husband a nice card. Think of the things he does for you and then ask for help in a nice, loving way.
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. And then we'll try to all stay married one more day.
And also get a housekeeper. Sorry.
No, I think you're right. I just don't know what to do right now. Should I do an absolute yours or one more problem? Or, you know what? I'm going to start with this. I just have to do this.
Okay.
This, I'm going to move on to an absolute yours really quick because this person's is long. And,
which is?
Oh, okay. So these are your absolute worst problems and yes. questions. Nobody has ever liked. Somebody just said a better name. It was like the worst worstiness of work. I'm like, I feel like we're locked in now. So nobody. I don't think anybody likes the name Absolute Yours, but I've coined it, and so that's what it is. If you have any weird stories you want to tell us or deep, dark secrets or interesting things that have happened to you, you know, in the same way that we want to help each other, we also want us to all know that we do fucked up shit, and it makes us feel better to know that we're not alone. So if you have something you want to share with us, you can email us at absoluteworstpodcast@gmail.com or go to our website, absoluteworstpodcast.com, and just click on contact. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And if you're enjoying what you hear here, doo-doo. Here, doo-doo. You can rate us and review us on iTunes. Dana's been doing a great job of – we got a really funny one the other day. As she's been making memes of our reviews and sharing them on
Instagram. Yeah, I like to
Instagram.
Do that.
It's very hilarious. So this is a little bit of a spoiler, but I guess we're just – I'm going to let it happen because this is this girl's – should I read the subject line? I think I just should because she gives it up pretty early in the story.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So this is subject line, I accidentally did mushrooms.
I don't know how that happens. Okay.
Before I get into it, you guys should know that I really don't like drugs. Like, I rarely drink alcohol and can probably count the number of times I have had weed. Okay, well, if you say I have had weed, you definitely don't do drugs. In my 26, and she's young, in my 26 years of life. And most times it backfired because I would see different dimensions and stuff.
Dimensions?
I have a huge imagination. I'm a hypochondriac, and I have legit anxiety that I am in different, that I am in therapy for. Hashtag no shame. What does that mean? Oh, that I'm in therapy for.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. I literally dislike drugs so much that a big reason I broke up with my boyfriend of last year was because he liked doing drugs. I've actually sarcastically-ish said, I am in a war against drugs. Okay, bitch, we get it. Jesus.
She doesn't like drugs.
A lot. And my sister has made me promise her I would never do drugs because she thinks I would die on them. Okay.
That's part of my fear, too.
So with that backstory, I'm currently house/dog-sitting for my friend. Two of my friends wanted to watch the finale of The Bachelorette, and I invited them over because I was in a house with AC and cable, which is obvi the jackpot.
Yeah.
I don't watch the show, but I figured it would be fun to at least not eat the pizza I already planned on having alone. The show started at 8, but before they came over, I was kind of hungry and wanted something sweet. I really love candy. It was 7:15, and I saw some caramel in the freezer of the house that I was staying at, and it said 100% organic caramel. I ate a full caramel and it tasted really good. I was still kind of craving candy like 15 minutes after the first one. Maybe candy is my drug? So I went back to eat more. There was a half of one and another full one left in the freezer. I opted for the half one because I didn't want to get too hard on the sugar, you know? I figured I would eat the last one another day. I felt totally fine after and was just waiting for the pizza to arrive. The pizza came at 7:45. My friends arrived shortly after, and by 8 I was sitting on the couch watching The Bachelorette and having a slice of cheese pizza. As the show started, I had a slightly weird feeling, but I just brushed it off because, well, anxiety. I shook my head to, like, snap out of it and started watching the show. I like how she has a perfect timeline. Then at 8:07, I couldn't see straight, and I remember putting my pizza down, sitting back, and I was like, I am super high right now. Something is wrong. I am high. My friends were super confused and were like, you're okay. And I was like, I'm really not okay. I hate this caramel. Maybe I'd had weed. I am going to throw up.
Oh, God.
Honestly, typing this part is making my heart rate so race so fast. I felt so fucked up and I was so confused and absolutely terrified. I rushed into the bathroom and shoved my fingers down my throat so I could throw up in case it. What a waste. In case it was the caramel. As the first bit of throw up came out of my mouth and fell into the toilet, it turned into a bunch of eyeballs staring back at me.
Oh, my God.
I was like, what the fuck? Everything became double and triple vision and filled with eyeballs. I threw up as much as I could and then headed back to my friends. They read the other caramel wrapper in the freezer and suspected mushrooms, but we decided to text my friend who I was house-sitting for. At first, she said it was weed, but then she was like, oh, shit, it was mushrooms. How much did you eat? At that point, it was game over for me. I really don't like being high, and I've never wanted or considered doing mushrooms, yet now I was stuck being high as fuck for 4 to 6 hours. My anxiety was out of control and kept asking my friends to take me to the hospital. I'm so glad you didn't waste a nurse's time on this bullshit. I just didn't trust myself and I felt like I was dying. There were tarantulas everywhere. The gout in the bathroom was bleeding green, and closing my eyes was worse because I kept seeing a black fog filled with Harry Potter dementors, and I felt like my throat was being constricted. I know my friends were trying to reason with me, but it was too late for that. They were like, people do this for fun. Maybe you can enjoy it. But I was pretty set on hating it and fighting the drug, which is apparently the worst option.
Yeah, true. I think so.
The first 2 hours are pretty foggy. I know I saw scary things, took a bath with all my clothes on.
Oh, God.
Cried a lot. My friend got bit by one of the dogs, and the lady I was house sitting for had to send one of the neighbors over to check on me. It was a very dramatic production.
Oh, my gosh.
Once the trip wasn't as intense, it got a lot better. I had a friend there who was a hero, and she talked me through everything. When things started getting less scary, I saw star constellations in my glass of water. I watched a dresser breathe for a while, and one wall made everyone and thing look one-dimensional, which was much more manageable to deal with than vomit eyeballs and green blood.
Oh, my God.
Well, this is maybe the worst thing to happen to me. I actually learned a lot. I will no longer eat mystery caramels that are stored in freezers, exactly. And I actually think this experience helped my anxiety. Pretty much mushrooms made my anxiety 1,000 times worse, but I survived. I truly thought I was going to die, but I didn't. I feel like if I can overcome an anxiety attack on a bad, unplanned mushroom trip, then I can certainly conquer it in real life.
Yeah.
I've always known my mind is my own worst enemy, but now I realize it could be my greatest hero. So my absolute worst has kind of been my absolute best therapy session ever.
Oh, I love it.
Oh my God. That must
have been so scary to not know you were going to do it.
I just want to say something to
everyone. Oh, okay.
Here's the best thing you can do if you accidentally take drugs.
Vomit?
No.
Oh.
Get some coloring books and some crayons and some stickers. Just hang out for a while. You're just going to color. It's very nice. You know, it's relaxing.
Uh-huh.
You know how everybody has those adult coloring books right now with the colored pencils?
Yeah, yeah.
If you are with someone and they accidentally did drugs and they're very unhappy, you could just go to the store, get some coloring books, get some crayons, have a great time. It gets it real, like, childlike and fun. That was my – every
but
time
I – want to see a dresser breathe.
Well, this girl didn't want – I mean, she eventually wanted to later, and that's when she started to come down a little bit. But if you're going to be, like, very angry, you need to kind of get it into, like, a happy place.
Yes.
And coloring books and crayons will do that for you.
And don't eat other people's food.
I don't think that that's fair.
I think that's fair.
Although I'll tell you, I'm sober. And when I go to concerts or whatever, I don't eat anything. I don't drink anything. If I don't know exactly what it is or it's not, it's just like when you go to Mexico and you only have bottled water.
Oh, my God. When I was in Baltimore on a job once, I was there with, you know, Sam Richardson, mm-hmm. right? So we were out together and we met these two young guys in a bar. And the one kid I was talking to, I mean, he looked on me as a mother. It wasn't like he was hitting on me. And he gave me a piece of candy and he put it in my hand and he was like, this is for later. Just have fun. And I was like, okay, cool. And so we left and Sam like grabbed my arm and pried my hand open and goes, give me that candy. And I was like, no one's ever given me candy drugs before. And he was like, you give it to me right now. You're not taking that.
Well, that was – I took literally one of the attorneys at my law firm to a fish show because Robbie couldn't go last minute. And so I had like stickers all over my face and glitter. And this was just a couple years ago. So I was sober and we get out of the car and this girl comes up and she has a basket and she's like, oh, do you guys have any more stickers? And I was like, totally. And she's like, thank you so much. Do you want a cookie? And my friend was like, yeah. And I'm like, Jean, don't
take that cookie.
Eat the cookie. And she's like, why? I'm like, because there's drugs in it. She's like, no, there's not. I mean, it was not. Okay. Random sequitur. So we took my baby to the pediatrician yesterday, mm-hmm. and the doctor was like, she's a little low in iron. What are your thoughts on that? And I was like, well, I'm anemic and so is my mom. And Robbie's like, yeah, remember that time we were at a concert? Remember you totally passed out because your iron was so low. No, that's not what happened. What had happened was my friend Billy gave me a Triscuit cracker and there was acid on it. And I was real wasted and we were at a concert and I was so far up front by the stage and I didn't realize, like, it is like a little weird if you don't realize you took drugs,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden you're hallucinating and you're hot because you're at the front of the stage. So I passed out and then I think somebody like gave me a Snickers bar and I bounced back. But he literally told my pediatrician I'm like, Robbie, no, I was on drugs.
Oh, God.
Which my pediatrician knows that we're both drug addicts, so I'm surprised she hasn't called the police.
Well, you're not on drugs now.
Yeah, maybe that's why she just like assumes that she lets it go. It's reasonable. But yeah, I mean, I used to bring coloring books and crayons to detention every day because you never knew who was going to need it.
I think I've said before, like the only thing I regret not doing, because I'm afraid of chemicals and stuff like that, but I would have liked to have done shrooms. But
I think those aren't chemicals, you idiot.
It's more natural than acid.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And but I'm terrified because I grew up with such like religious guilt and stuff. I would just have the worst trip ever. Well, now
you
might.
I mean, I've told you before what you need to do is you just like give yourself 12 hours. You know?
Who's got 12 free hours?
Well, drug addicts do.
I wish I had 12 free hours.
Me too. I know. I probably would. I'll tell you what. If there was anything I could relapse, I would secretly love to. We call it a free lapse. Uh-huh. You know, like what if I accidentally ate something and then I just was like high for hours on end? It wouldn't count as a relapse if I didn't.
It wouldn't?
Know. Well, if I truly didn't know if it was really an accident. But like I said, I'm very careful.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just want to clarify, that was not an invitation for people to dose me. Please don't do it. I really will feel bad. It's not going to be good. But it is like one of those dreams of like, what if it wasn't my fault and I was just high for 8 hours? It would be like a freebie.
I mean, nobody knows how to send you treats anyway. So
it's a great point.
We don't have a P.O. box.
It's a great point. We've referenced this P.O. box a lot. I'm going to read one more absolute yorst. So I have been chatting with a guy for a while. His pics on the dating – this is another guy. So, Dana, you probably don't understand this, but sometimes two guys love each other. So
I
know that you don't do that in the deep south, but these are gay men.
Okay.
So I've been chatting with a guy for a while. His pics on the dating app were interesting. Huh. He is a 6'5 albino African-American.
Wow.
Amazing. More caramel than white and pink is being descriptive. Oh, is being descriptive like that racist? I don't think so. Now I think maybe. Anyway, we were chatting very late at night. We both didn't need to be anywhere the next day, so I went to meet him. I got to his pad. He was having a beer. Didn't think anything of it. He is super hot. He is clearly into me. We go at it for a while. An hour. Different positions. He ends up on top of me, his legs pinning my arms, his balls in my face. I'm enjoying it.
Wow, Dana's masturbating.
Dana's masturbating. He starts performing analingus. He is quite skilled. Then he stops with his face in my ass. I realized he's passed out. Clearly he was more drunk than I thought. He passed out in my ass.
Oh, God.
I can't move. I tried lifting him off me, wiggling out, because he's huge, right? Huge, giant man. Passed out in your asshole.
Oh, God.
Nothing. I thought for a moment that he might be dead. He didn't move for about 10 to 15 minutes. Oh, my God. That is a really long time. I finally start bumping his testicles with my nose. That woke him up. Oh, my God. He goes back to kissing my ... like he was just on pause. I get him to shift around. He grabbed my junk and passed out again. Woke him up again, shifted. Then he passed out with my ear in his mouth. I extricated myself and put my clothes on and did my walk of shame and bewilderment
get
in the rising
out
sunshine.
Of there. You're like, after the seventh time he fell asleep, I decided to go.
I don't think I've ever fallen asleep having sex, but you know what? Ask Robbie. I don't know. Maybe I did.
I doubt it. He would never let you live it down.
I know, but
I would never let somebody live. I have a friend that's like, man, one time I was getting a blowjob and I fell asleep. And I was like, as a woman,
it's
I would
relaxing.
Be so insulted. And that's what he said. Yeah. He was like, it's just so relaxing.
Well, it's hard to say.
I don't want my blowjobs to be relaxing. I want you to be like, yahoo.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember literally any sexual experience I've ever had, and I just cannot conjure them right now.
And there's been so many.
Right, that's the thing, is it's like, I'm sure, I remember, didn't I tell you about the time I went to have a one-night stand, but we both just passed out, and then woke up in the morning and, like, shook hands. I'm like, thanks for the memories.
Do I need to pay you for a nice stay? I don't know.
We literally just like cuddled. And I don't even know if we cuddled. I just like slept in his house and then like peaced.
Thanks for the free Airbnb.
So I guess it happens. I mean, I just don't know.
But I think if it's happening several, like, I think probably.
I like that he just hung in there for like 10 to 15 minutes with a large man living in his asshole.
I think I would have started screaming. I would have been like, oh my God, like freaking out.
Jesus. It's a good thing that you haven't had a lot of like one night
stand. Analingus?
Yeah. You don't have to be super judgy, Dana. It's a thing that people like. I'm not being
judgy about any of the acts. I'm being judgy about, like, I would be like, you fell asleep on me? Get out. I'm leaving.
I'm going to give you a birthday present.
What?
Neva's Corner.
Now, there actually was something that I said. What was it?
I don't even remember what I said. You don't remember what it was either. I know I said doo-doo, but I know that Neva would think that that's funny.
Uh-huh.
There was something earlier that I did.
I am sorry, Grandmama. I said analingus.
Yeah. She also said that she likes it a lot.
I did not.
Oh, my God. It was earlier. All right. So I'm just going to do a general apology for things I might have said.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what it was. I said that you don't have to sit on a man's lap to have his dick in your asshole.
Oh,
so
God.
I want to apologize for that.
You do need to apologize to Neva for that.
Although I do suggest that people not sit on men's lap if that's not what they want to happen. It's a common side effect.
Huh.
I guess that's the only thing I want to apologize for. And I think Dana wants to apologize for something she did to me. Go ahead, Dana.
Oh, Grandma, I'm sorry that I was late.
Yeah, because Neva, I know that you didn't treat her. I know that you did not teach her this way.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Grandmama is.
Of course not, because she's perfect.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry that you have this ungrateful grandchild.
And daughter, because my mom's always late.
Okay.
And thanks for the really sweet birthday text, Grandma. She sends lots of emojis.
Neva. She sends emojis, but she doesn't know how to get a podcast?
I'm sure she could figure it out sure. She's really active on Facebook.
Neva's Corner. This has been the Absolute Worst Podcast. Thank you guys so much for sending us your feedback and your stories and for rating us and for reviewing us. And we're just one day at a time all trying to stay married up in this bitch. So thank you guys for your guidance.
Thank you, everybody.
You're amazing.
Allison.
What?
Do you still love me?
Ugh. Do I love you?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever said that I do.
Ugh.
I love you?
Doesn't sound convincing. I want a housekeeper.
Bye!
Bye!
Shut up and sit down.